do you think about the medical marijuana initiative?
I'm glad we have that question here. You know, citizens of this state worked very hard to get four things on the ballot this fall, and our laws allow that. And I think given the fact that our laws allow that and that we worked as hard as we did to get those things on the ballot, those things should be allowed to go forward to a Utah vote. When you look at the data, the evidence, it sounds like, depends on what poll you look at, the vast majority of Utahns approve medical marijuana. The LDS Church has come out with a statement saying that they don't. That will clearly sway many of the voters in the state when they hopefully have the chance to vote for that issue in the fall. But we earned the right to have it on the ballot. We've earned the right to put it to a vote. If voters say, no, that's not something we want to deal with this year, it'll probably be on the ballot again the next year. So I think that as citizens, again, we have the right to have a say, and I think it's a good thing that we have the right to have a say. So many other states have had their say. It's coming over the borders anyway, as probably you all realize. It doesn't make sense to me to not have the option to decide as citizens of this state whether we want medical marijuana in our state. That said, another issue is that many of us have children who might benefit, or adults who might benefit, from having access to that. I have a 16-year-old son adopted. We adopted him from the state. He came with many medical problems, and he needed back surgery when he was 16. He has rods, two rods in the full length of his back fusion, big screws, the whole works. And that happened when he was 16. He became opioid addicted, and it took us 6 years to get him off of opioids. When we finally got him off of opioids, he substituted with alcohol. He moved to Oregon. He's the healthiest he's ever been. And so I can't say that as a parent, I'm against medical marijuana. It would have helped my son when he was 16, and we wouldn't have gone through the 6 years of hell that we went through hoping that he would live. His parents didn't live. So I was, you know, distraught that we couldn't get him the help he needed in this state, and opioid addiction became his choice. There's many of us in that boat, and I hope that as we go to the polls, we remember that.
Okay, so I'm happy that this initiative is on the ballot in the fall. I signed the initiative. I'm probably the only person on the panel who's written prescriptions for medical marijuana, dronabinol. I have great respect for Truce and the fact that they really do want to improve patient care. There are, in pediatrics, fewer indications for medical marijuana than there are for adults, and yet 30 states have rolled this out already. So as a scientist and a medical provider, my approach when I heard we were going to have the initiative was, well, 30 states have done this already. We should have the best practice. We should try and have the best initiative. We want Utah to have the best marijuana laws. And I think that there are some things that we could add on to the initiative if it passes to make it even better. And if it fails, you need to let legislators who have, I would suggest, the medical background and interest in this coming to the state in a safe way, where it is medical and where it is provided in a way that is safe for communities. And that's something I'm very interested in. Just to give you two ideas. There are no stipulations in the initiative for childproofing, which lots of other states have done already, and that's pretty basic. There are also interesting zoning requirements that were left out of the initiative that are in other states. Right now, there are zoning requirements in the initiative for dispensaries only, but not for grow houses, and several other states have really struggled with that, and I suggest that we probably don't want to struggle with that in Utah. So I think that we actually should either have the initiative pass, great, elect legislators who are going to help tweak it and make it fit our state even better with improved safety, or if it fails, bring it up in the legislature, because that's often how you get the best legislation when it comes to medical issues.
And there's sort of two questions here. One is, what do you think about ballot initiatives? And I think that's an important question, which I'll leave for another day. But I think what's happened here is terrific. And there's been a lot of work. It's incredible. I don't know if you know what had to happen with 85,000 signatures to get this in 27 of 29 senatorial districts. It was arduous, and the folks who were behind it really worked hard to get it done, and for all the ballot initiatives. So there's a high standard for those, so they're not trivial. I'm the only guy on the panel that grows marijuana. I actually hold a medical grow license in Connecticut. I was awarded that in 2011 with a group of other people. Had very strict standards in Connecticut. pharmaceutical standards, totally organic, no neem oil, none of the stuff you would use in an organic farm. I'm very familiar with the zoning, with the security. Three highest costs are rent, security, and power. I actually brought the Commissioner of Consumer Protection, who is the chief regulatory body in Connecticut, out here to meet with Senator Mazin when he proposed this bill the last 3 years. And so it's very important to actually put the right bill through. What really needs to happen here is not the state level. It needs to go off Schedule 1 at the federal level. There's absolutely and positively no reason that research shouldn't be done, that can't be done while it's on Schedule 1. Currently, all the great research is done in the UK and in Israel. Sorry to keep going back to Israel. It's been said that if marijuana were stumbled upon by a major pharmaceutical now, it would be a miracle drug. Stopping pediatric epilepsy seizures, you know better than I do, Charlotte's Well, Webb, and Haley's Hope. It's a miracle drug. 30 states have done it. We ought to get on board. Thanks.
Thank you. I think a lot of great comments have been said already. I agree with Kathy. We're fooling ourselves if we don't think it's in our communities right now. It's just the revenue from it is going elsewhere. And the revenue, by the way, is significant. This is a, there's enough data to prove that medical marijuana actually is very helpful. I will share with you, if you have ever had a person with a terminal disease, you know personally that you would do anything to be able to spend one day, 1 hour with that person in a lucid and pain-free state. And so I think we have to look beyond legislating morals regarding to marijuana and look at data. Besides that, I agree with Jack, is the fact that, so one is, yes, I do support the initiative, but secondly, I think we need to look at why we have the initiative and two others that have been passed, and that's because your governance is not listening to you. And that's where the common sense comes in and the sanity comes in. They simply, your government is not listening to your voice, and that's why you have the initiative on the ballot. So, simple answer is yes.
Coming from the most conservative county in the most conservative state, I should be the big bad conservative guy. That being said, we need to stop the madness here. I would support this issue for because of humanitarian reasons, and I do a lot of humanitarian causes. I don't see how you can look at a child that's having 300 seizures a day and say that this is a quality of life. Our Declaration of Independence says we have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And I believe that. It's an organic product. It was given to us by our Creator, and I think we should use it. I had a friend of mine, his name was Kevin Campbell. He was a plumber, and we shared a building together. And Kevin was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. And of course, you know that conversation. Dude, you're going to die. You've got 6 months. Well, several different people, Kevin's wife and several of his friends, we took turns taking Kevin to Germany, to the place that Farrah Fawcett was going for treatment. And I think when someone has that type of issue, you do anything you can to keep them around. Mm-hmm. That being said, I was in Denver 8 or 9 years ago, and my wife was in a quilting store, and I was in the car. And a guy comes up to my window and says, I'll get you a prescription for medical marijuana. And I said, I don't need that. And he said, sure you do. And I said, I don't have any issues. And he said, have you ever not slept at night? Well, of course I do, I'm human. Have you ever woken up with a headache? Yes, of course, I'm human. Has your back ever hurt? Of course, I'm human. That being said, we need to have some type of boundaries, and we need to set this up, and we need intelligent people, and we need the guidance from physicians to talk about how to do this the correct way.
Do I have any time left? I just wanted to add one other thing.
No.
Did I have
time?
Was it gone? Did I exhaust it? I didn't.
We're going to move on.
Okay.
Eileen, you're going to have the next audience question.
What would be your top three goals to focus on in the state senate?
Top three goals. So I have written out a lot of information about my candidacy on my webpage. I have everything from core values to specific pieces of legislation, talking points, and then sort of three overriding concepts. So I'm going to give concepts. First of all, I believe strongly that our people in Utah are suffering unnecessarily because of lack of affordable and excellent health care. And so that would be a group of pieces of legislation, but I think that we need to expand access to healthcare and we need to improve the quality, especially in rural areas. I trained in a rural healthcare program. That is actually something that I'm very interested in. It's actually what I do now is help clinics to set up and start new clinics. I train the front staff, I train the nurses, I train the back end staff. And we need better rural health care, especially in Utah. Second issue is that we need to change air quality now. And so even though Salt Lake County is a part of this district, Uinta is, and they are also suffering, children and elderly, especially because of our air quality issues. And then the last one, which sounds strange, but I feel strongly, is that our legislature is too involved in local issues. I think that it is ridiculous that in a 45-day session they introduced 1,200 bills. If I said I wanted to see 1,200 patients in 45 days, I know I can't do a good job. And so we need to cut back on the amount of legislation being put forward, and legislators only need to act on the big issues, infrastructure, health care, and so we need to cut back on the activity of the legislature on local issues.
Yeah, I've got my big three, which hopefully will resonate with you. Number one with me is local. I think that what the state does, you know, big governments pick on little governments. You go down to Salt Lake, people say the feds are picking on us. And 10th Amendment's been trampled, the Commerce Clause, Supreme Court decisions. We've got all this stuff at the state level that we never asked for. And then they turn around and do the same stuff for the locals. It's insane. So, Utah's not a home rule state, so the towns and the counties basically serve at the pleasure of the state. That's unfortunate. So there is no equivalent of the 10th Amendment at the state level. There needs to be. What I've told people, my wife says, never say this when I say she's not here. I'd like to go to the legislature and start a card game. So when they try to ban the plastic bag, single-use plastic bag disposable ban, in Park City, they want to overturn the bag ban. Let's play cards, guys. Let's go to lunch. Let's go figure out something else to do, because we shouldn't be messing in local issues. And you've got to re-empower that with the funds to actually execute. So local issues are best understood locally. Consequences are felt locally. Issues are, solutions are known locally, and we pay our taxes locally. So that's a huge thing. And lo and behold, that resonates, as I found going through the district with Democrats, Republicans, Indians, everybody. That's why. Two, a big thing here, and we know, just look out the window, is transportation. I-40 is the artery that pumps through the entire 26th district. The train is a great solution, Seabridge Road. There's a number of solutions that need to be done. They've all been studied. I gotta figure out who does the studies here, because they're making a fortune. We gotta figure out how to go from study to actually implementation. And then the last thing we're running out of time is redistricting. I firmly believe the three counties in the basin need to remain in the same district. Turns out that Wasatch County, as we know, is one of the fastest growing counties, so it's going to be cut up some other way or perhaps hived out entirely, and if we can find another county to put in with the basin, that would be a good thing to do.
Pardon me?
Go ahead.
Okay. Hey, I'm going to go now. I want to go. Well, coming from the basin, the number one issue that I see in this district is transportation. The Uinta Basin is landlocked, and because of that, that economy is severely limited. We do need to look at a train, because the great thing to know is that Uinta Basin is the cash cow of the state. And we produce about 90 to 100,000 barrels of oil a day, but we have the capacity to produce 300 to 400,000 barrels a day. That being said, we don't have a way to get it out. The only way to get it out is driving down the main street of Heber, and nobody wants that. You don't want what you have. You don't want the transportation you have. So we need to figure out a different route. Jack alluded to Sea Bridge Road. It's a road through Uinta County. It would join I-70, and that would give us interstate access. It would also help Daggett County with tourism. It would take a direct route from Yellowstone to the Mighty Five, and help that economy. So diversity is another thing that I would push. We need to diversify our economy. That's not so much out here. Now, what do I want to do that will affect this area, the Wasatch Back? I think we need to have something like an enterprise zone, and actually name that a tourist zone, where we take these stupid laws that we have in the state of Utah, and we let locals make those laws, maybe something like drinking and actually having a drink in a world-class city like Park City, be able for the locals to manage their stuff a little bit better. Now, we don't do that in Utah County when the average person doesn't want to see a Dos Equis sign, right? But we do it where people want it done. We need to reevaluate the laws where people want them.
We'll go to Kathy.
Oh, okay. You're going to be last this time.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. You know, I think one of the things that's very most important to me is just making sure everybody's voices are heard. I think that many of us have felt at times, regardless of what the issue is, that our voice hasn't been heard. I know that in working on reservations, they feel their voices haven't been heard. I've worked a lot with poor populations in the state. They don't feel their voices are heard. And as I've gone to legislative sessions, I can see that in our legislative sessions. The people who have time during the day, the people who are more affluent, the people who are more engaged in politics are the ones who are there. And the people who have to work 18 hours a day to survive, they can't go to a legislative session. Their voices aren't heard. Sure, we should be able to be heard by our votes, but I don't think that happens in Utah either. So ensuring voices are heard is one of the things that's actually most important to me as a legislator. Another one that's very important to me as an educator is education, obviously. I'm a math educator, and as I look at the state, I've been all over the state looking at math classrooms. We do not have enough qualified math educators in particular. Our STEM fields in this state are hurting for people who are qualified in math and STEM. We can't do the jobs we need to if our students aren't prepared in math. If you look at some of the national measures of math proficiency, like 25% of our students are proficient in math by the time they graduate from high school. That's abysmal, and I think we need to put more money in education. We're 50th in the nation in class size, we're about 46th in teacher salary, and we are 51st in per pupil expenditures. I don't like being on the bottom. Of course, the good thing is the only place to go is up, right? But I think we need to focus on that. The other thing that I would like to focus on is health care. We haven't expanded Medicaid in the state. I've got boys that are on Medicaid. My adopted sons don't get insurance through their jobs. They are uninsured right now. That makes me very anxious. They would qualify if we have expanded Medicaid. I think that I right now I'm living on USU's early retirement. I have insurance for 2 more years. Then I'm back in the ACA pool, whatever that happens to be. In 2010, I was thrown out of the pool. I didn't get insurance because I had fibroids and my husband had a heart attack. So we were uninsurable. I had to go back to a salary job. Healthcare is important for us.
And Pat, you have the last.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I agree with Kathy. It is your initiatives that are most important. But let me explain where I think I would like to focus. First of all, quality of life. And I want to bring my extensive, relevant, past experience to the foreground to be able to help to do that in a couple of different areas. I have 25 years of extensive professional high-level experience, which includes state government, which means working across party lines, collaborating, and also compromising where necessary. I worked under John Huntsman in economic development, and I am very strong in that suit. Economic development means planning and vision. It means jobs, quality jobs, above the median wage. Sure, we have low unemployment that we are touting, but it is not high wage unemployment. I am an educator. I give back, I teach, and so education is very strong for me. and not just pouring money into our educational system, I mean innovative programs. I brought millions of dollars into the state for workforce development that was beyond not just advanced education, but at the high school level, giving people skills to go right into the workforce. And don't forget where we live, an environment and our landscapes, our sacred properties and our monument are keys. If we destroy the key gateways that bring people into our communities, it is ruined forever and cannot be replaced. Environment is a very outdoor recreation. Environment is very high on my list as well because we live here. Thank you.